Jeff Woods joins us once again. Woods, how are you?
Good, Mr. Gregor.
Did you watch Rory McIlroy hammering around the course today in pretty much complete control?
You know, I would have to agree. I did watch a little bit of it, and when he is swinging well, I don't think there's a guy on the planet that plays a better game of golf.
Now, we're talking about golf, our golfers, athletes. Obviously, we've seen a massive change in the physique of golfers and their training regimes here in the last decade. And a lot of it probably started with Tiger Woods became, pretty buff and ripped, and a lot of guys followed suit with it. But, working out for golf is different because of, the motion of golf. And it's sure you want power, but it's not really about brute strength or necessarily the fast quick twitch muscles, is it?
Well, not really. It's interesting, Jason, too, just the dictionary definition of an athlete. It goes in, like, is that a person who is trained or skilled in exercises, sports, or games? Well, I guess golf is a game, and they have to be reasonably skilled to play golf. But, I think we both could agree that in terms of, the strength and the agility and the stamina, it's probably lower on the scale by comparison to some other sports. But it's interesting. There was a panel of sports scientists. They looked at 60 different sports, and they graded the sports on 10 components: athleticism, endurance, strength, power, speed, agility, flexibility, the nerve, and the hand-eye coordination. So number one was boxing at the top, and number two was hockey. Number 60 in the group was fishing. So where do you think golf stacked up in that list?
Of 1 to 60?
Yeah.
27.
I wish, my friend. Number 51 of 60 called golf. But the one thing that this whole panel of sports scientists agreed upon was this: that golf's precise synchronized movements and the mental demands and the training required to master repetition under pressure was the very essence of athletics. I'm telling you one thing, my friend, when you've got a measurable amount of money on the line and your nerves are getting the best of you, it takes a very special person to, again, keep those fine motor skills in check, especially around the green with the short game. It takes a special kind of skill and a lot of practice. So, for anybody who says that golf is not a sport, I think they're a little off the mark. It takes a great deal of finesse and skill to master that game.
It's just not close to boxing or hockey, is what we're saying. No.
Well, not in terms of the physical demands, of course. But, golfers still train athletically. There's no question about that. So, let's just look at golf and we'll, like you asked the question about, training, for example. Now, elite-level golfers like Tiger, like Rory, are going to train completely different than the recreational player that we're speaking to, listening to tonight's show. So here's a good plan for female golfers. The first thing I would say, strive to have an abdominal girth under 36 inches. And for men, your goal is to get fit enough and have an abdominal girth under 40 inches. And the reason for that is this: you're going to increase your ability to rotate. Okay, but you're also going to reduce the risk of disease. So there's going to be some health benefits associated with reducing your abdominal girth. But the better that you can turn, make a better rotation as a recreational player, you're going to have better direction. Your chance of making consistent shots will be far better, and you're just going to get a better shoulder turn. And the thing that's kind of interesting is that as long as you're eating right and not overeating, so for a female, sort of getting your caloric intake right, between 1,500 to 1,800 calories. For a man, 1,800 to 2,200 calories. Knowing that number and not overeating, even if you don't exercise, you're going to probably reduce your abdominal girth. And then on top of that, just to start some sort of basic full-body strength training program for the recreational golfer, it doesn't have to be any more specific than that. And you're well on your way.
Jeff, I want to talk about the do's and don'ts on the practice range for a lot of the golfers in their warm-up. And a lot of people are doing some things that could actually be counterproductive to their game.
Well, absolutely. Here's a couple of things right here. So, I see a lot of people, they'll go warm up on the driving range with two clubs. the worst thing you could possibly do, because what happens with that added weight, it activates slow twitch muscle fibers. So it actually throws your swing speed off. And most of this research I looked at is for baseball players, because baseball players would do the same thing. They put the big donut on their bat, and they'd be on the on-deck circle, and they'd be swinging away with that added weight. But it actually throws your timing off, because it's forcing the wrong muscle fibers to work. You want your fast twitch fibers to react so that your timing is right so you can react to a fast pitch. It's no different in golf. You want to be able to have fast twitch fibers work accordingly so that you can have the timing and take an aggressive pass at the ball, whether it's an iron or whether it's a driver, very important. The other thing on the driving range that I see all the time, rapid fire shot making sequences. Okay, so you've got your player who sets up the ball, whacks the driver. 20 seconds later, they're whacking another ball. You start to break down and you get tired. So all you're doing at that point is just reinforcing bad golf biomechanics at that point, which is, again, not conducive to really solid center impacts. So you're better off to take 40 or 50 seconds, walk off the tee box, go through your whole setup procedure and practice like that, because you wouldn't be taking rapid fire shots on the golf course.
That is very interesting, because I do it all the time. And I think by most people, when you're on the driving range, you got your bucket. Well, I'm here, I better hit the ball.
Well, and you're right, it happens all the time. So again, less is more. Make sure that you're in good physical condition between shots to take a really athletic pass at the ball and reinforce those positive biomechanics.
And quickly, what about what would you say are a few of the best workouts that would transfer, into, because obviously in golf you want to get good rotation, right? You mm-hmm. want to generate force a lot of times from your lower trunk rather than the mid trunk, even in your legs. So what are some good exercises that make golfers better?
Well, and I guess some of your listeners may find this interesting, and honestly, Jason, your basic old school movement patterns like squats, like deadlifts are significant movements to improve lower body, lower extremity stability. The best thing that you can do for yourself is be strong in your lower extremities so that you can rotate your upper body against a very solid, stable lower. And you want to be able to create some tension and some torque. So that would be key. Beyond that, again, just doing basic strength for your chest and for your back. And then even just in the end, doing some sort of cable rotation work you could even do it with a medicine ball. That would be fine as well. But those core movement patterns are probably even more important than the rotational stuff that I just talked about. The rotational work on the cable systems and with the medicine balls, that would be gravy. Being strong throughout your body with basic movement patterns would be the best way to go, first and foremost.
Jeff, always good stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, my friend. Take care, Jason.